Willis Patterson, director of the Men's League Club, receiving now a very spontaneous and very genuine standing ovation from the crowd gathered here tonight in Hill Auditorium for his rendition of Old Man River.
Of course, that's a recognizable tune from the musical Showboat, Old Man River, sung there by Dr. Willis Patterson. That's an old radio broadcast. We heard the announcer at the very end. Willis Patterson joined by the Michigan Glee Club. He was also a director for a while of the Michigan Glee Club. We are celebrating Willis Patterson. He is having his 90th birthday, I believe, in November. That's coming up. And right now I'm joined on the phone by Dr. Louise Toppin. Louise Toppin has been for a long time a tireless advocate of African-American music and all that entails. She's done many recordings, of course, many performances as a soprano. She's also a professor of voice at the University of Michigan. Louise, I got you on the line. You want to say hello?
Hello, Brad. Thank you so much for having me today.
It's great to have you here. And we're going to welcome Dr. Patterson in a little bit. But we want to talk about what's going on at University of Michigan right now. It is the 2020 African American Music Conference. This is something that you have organized. It's a three-day festival. And this year, because of COVID-19 restrictions, you are offering everything virtually. We're kind of doing, you know, the old-fashioned version of a watch party. Nowadays, people go on social media. They have watch parties. We're having a listening party today, because we have all these wonderful recordings of Dr. Patterson singing a whole group of different varying songs here, including some music by African-American composers, as well as some wonderful songs from the art song repertoire. And we're going to listen to all that. We're going to invite Dr. Patterson to listen with us. But Louise, perhaps before we turn it over to that, you can tell us a little bit about the African American Music Conference. It kicks off tonight, in fact.
Absolutely. Actually, this event, the radio broadcast, is the kickoff, but the whole conference is to explore the legacy of Willis Patterson as a performer, a professor, administrator, scholar, mentor, citizen of the community. He's from Ann Arbor, and an advocate for African American composition, with the goal of celebrating his past achievements while using his model as a blueprint for the future. He was such a fascinating and pivotal person in the area of African-American research. So I wanted to do this year's conference, as you said, to celebrate his 90th, but also take that look at what he has done and move us forward. And starting with these wonderful recordings he shared with me, it's actually been a blessing in one sense that we are online, because I can share all these wonderful recordings and the radio broadcast he had and all of these materials that we probably would not have done as we would have been doing things live. So that's the really cool thing. So today, on Friday, the event after this is a conversation at 3:30 with three educators. I have the president of the University of Richmond and two deans, one at Northwestern and Indiana University, to talk about delivering a more dynamic, diverse curriculum for the 21st century, because that was what Patterson was passionate about. How do we include this music into the musical canon? Mm-hmm. And then at 5:30, we have that was supposed to be our real kickoff, and we ended up with a earlier session, but we're going to have a webinar introducing the Willis Patterson collection at the Bentley Historical Library. Quite often people's papers are given to libraries or thrown out by accident after they are gone. And it is so wonderful that Dean Patterson had the foresight to give his papers at a time that we can celebrate him and celebrate the inclusion of these papers at the Bentley. So President Mark Schlissel, Vice Provost Rob Sellers, and Dean David Gear will present greetings, and then there will be a wonderful conversation between Terry McDonald, the director of the Bentley, and Dean Patterson to talk about, you know, what's in the collection and his legacy as an African-American music advocate. And then later that night, because we can't do real concerts, One of the things that was important about him is that he created an anthology, one of the first ones in the modern age, of African-American art songs. And so I had this idea to recreate the entire art song anthology, and I was going to do it in a live concert, was the original plan. But instead, I found the recording of that was done in 1977, and I put snippets of that along with more recent performances. So the latest performance was August of 2020. And so we're showing how relevant this music that he created for us in 1977 is still to the singing community. This has been one of the best sellers of the publisher at the time, and it continues. And so it's very, I hope it will be a wonderful experience for people, those that have the anthology, to pull it out and listen from A to Z to the repertoire that's in the anthology.
Yeah, that's tremendous. I mean, he has, first of all, such an enduring legacy and a long legacy. I mean, he's celebrating his 90th birthday. He's been doing this for many, many decades now. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk to him a little bit about his journey when he gets here, because he wrote this autobiography, which he called The Unlikely Saga of a Singer from Ann Arbor.
Yes.
Which, you know, it invites some curiosity. I want to hear a little bit about his life story. We'll ask him when he gets here. We should mention to folks that this is open to anybody. This is happening. There's no cost for it. People can log on and watch.
Absolutely. All they have to do is register on the website, African American Music Conference 2020, on the School of Music website. And they can't. I did leave a place for people to extend video greetings or spoken or written greetings or mementos for him, so that I'm going to collect those. And some of them will be shown throughout the conference, and all of them will be given to Dean Patterson. Or if people don't want to extend a greeting and they just want to register, they can click the button and just register. So I tried to make it fun in addition.
Now, the conference is going on to Sunday. Can you give us an idea of some of the other stuff that's happening?
Sure. On Saturday, we're talking about 21st century African-American art songs. So extending for what we've heard on Friday night, on Saturday, we'll start at noon with that. And I should point out that many of the scholars that are included throughout the weekend, if you look at the website, you see the year they graduated from Michigan. I was one of those doctoral students who was mentored by Willis Patterson. Mm-hmm. And so I brought back many of his, many of us that were mentored by him. And what is fascinating is so many of us have become leading advocates for this repertoire in our own professional careers. So we have that session first. And then we have a listening of a 1985 symposium that people can listen to at any time, but it connects to the next session, which is about new frontiers in Black music studies. What's the new scholarship that's coming out? Because that was the point of his symposium, was to bring together scholars, musicians, composers to talk about African-American music in 1985. And really what I've been doing in terms of conferences, as you said, my publishing, my conferences, my recordings, my performing, it's all a direct legacy from Willis Patterson. And we end the afternoon with a panel discussion with the 1963 broadcast of Amahl and the Night Visitors. And I'm sure you'll talk to him about it. But what was so powerful to me is that he was an advocate for and reached out to NBC at a time he was only about 40. And I'm thinking about being a young singer. Basically, you're on your ascent in your career. And he's reaching out to a powerful company like NBC and saying, you need to stop the practice of having white baritones in blackface for the King Balthazar. You need to have an African-American. There are tons of them. And so basically they did a casting call and he won the part. And so what I did was I searched to see who from that cast was living. And I'm so proud that the second king, Richard Cross, is still with us. Martha King, who was the mother, is still alive, although she had a stroke recently. So I don't know yet if she's going to join us. And then Kurt Yadjian, who was the Amahl. They're all still living and they're excited to join and reunite with him after 52 years and talk about the legacy of that incorporation of the first African-American as the king in A Mall and the Night Visitors on television.
Yeah, he was a trailblazer back in the early 60s.
Absolutely. And we have the 1963 performance for people to watch.
That's wonderful.
That's also up there that they can watch it. And then we end the day with a watch party, since you spoke of it, a Facebook watch party, Tales from the Briar Patch by Nkira Okoye, because to me, that's a direct link. If Patterson had not done his work being on television and pushing the inclusion of African-Americans, an African-American woman composer who's getting quite a bit of notoriety herself might not have had the opportunity that she has with operas. And so we did a workshop premiere with the students at Michigan, and so we're showing that for Saturday night for the performance of the night.
Yeah, they're just such an exciting slate of events that are happening between this afternoon and Sunday as well. Well, I want to give Dr. Patterson a call and see if we can get him on the line. Let me pull up my phone here, give him a call.
Would you like me to tell you about the last day while you're doing that?
Yeah, you go ahead and I'll bring him in.
Sure. Sure. On Sunday, we have a 2 o'clock session. That's our last session, Black Concert Lives Matter. And it's talking about where we are in the present moment, bringing us from the 1940s to Black Lives Matter, and saying that this music matters because of the legacy of Willis Patterson. And then we end with a birthday celebration greeting from people in the community and organizations that he was a part of and colleagues. They all wanted to have a moment to speak to him and wish him well. So that's how we're finishing. And then we're going to do a drive-by at his house with a reception. In lieu of gifts, we're asking participants when they register to consider giving to the scholarship fund, the Willis Patterson Scholarship Fund that was founded in 1998 upon his retirement, which supports minority music students at the School of Music, Theater, and Dance. Over more than 30 years on faculty, including 20 years as associate dean, Patterson made an impact on the lives of countless students and arguably did more to advance the cause of racial equity in SMTD than anyone else in its history.
Well, we got the phone ringing there. Hello, Dr. Hello. Patterson?
Yes.
How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. How are yourself?
Very well, thanks. This is Brad Cresswell, and I'm here with Dr. Toppin, Louise Toppin. You know her, right?
Oh, I do.
Yes. Well, we've been talking all about you, so I feel like we already know you. It was all good things, I assure you. But
I'm glad to know that.
Let me first of all say
not to suggest that there are bad things, but
yeah. First of all, let me say happy birthday to you. I know your birthday's not until the end of November, but whole thing is kicking off, and we're having a little listening party today with these wonderful recordings that you've made available to us. A lot of stories to tell. I mean, where to start? Why don't we listen to a piece of music, and then we can talk a little bit about your career. The first piece I have on my playlist here is from Hercules by Handel.
Yes.
Do you want to introduce that for us?
Well, this is a wonderful, wonderful aria that may or may not have been sung or scored for a bass. May have been scored for any one of the other voice categories, but was transposed. Possibly for the bass voice. One of the things about it, the features of it, is that it has several sections, with one that is fairly unexpected for the bass voice, the coloratura aspects of singing are normally attributed and expected to be sung by the soprano. Sometimes the mezzo and sometimes the tenor, but very often by the bass. It has a section that does that, and it has a fine bravura section to it that opens it. So it's a wonderful piece, and I've enjoyed very much discovering it and then learning it and performing it, and I've performed it several times.
That's music of George Frideric Handel from his Hercules, which is, well, it's not really an opera. It's not really an oratorio. It's a sort of a dramatic stage work somewhere in between.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
We heard The God of War Now Quits the Battlefield. That was my guest today, Dr. Willis Patterson, singing along with pianist Brian Connolly. Willis Patterson is having his 90th birthday. That's coming up in November, and as a celebration of his 90th birthday, the entire 2020 African American Music Conference at the University of Michigan is all about you, Dr. Patterson. I also have your colleague, Dr. Louise Toppin, here. We were talking with her before we got you on, and she touched on some of the stories of your long and wonderful career. First of all, let me say, what a voice. I mean, that's a fantastic bass voice that I've heard in all these recordings of you. So I hope you'll take that compliment.
Well, I lap it up. like most performers, we feast on positive reaction.
Yeah.
So I'd love to be modest and say, well, golly, it wasn't all that much, but
that was pretty fantastic. Yeah. Well, I have a feeling that you're going to be lapping up a lot of compliments over the next few months. Louise has given us a real rundown on everything that is going on during the conference over the next few days. But I want to take you back to 1963, an event that Louise talked about when they did a Mall and the Night Visitors at NBC Television.
Yes.
And you wrote a letter to NBC. Can you tell us that story and what transpired afterward?
Well, I was at that time teaching at Virginia State University, where I just incidentally first met Louise when she was a little girl.
Mm.
I had read in the New York Times that they were planning on recasting Amal and the Night Visitors, due, of course, to the necessity to do so, since the first Amal had grown out of the ability to do the voice, soprano voice. I thought, well, gee whiz, when they originally cast the opera, Menotti, and those who produced it for television, had the Black King to be cast by a white singer, wonderful voice, but in black face, black paint,
yeah,
face paint. And I thought that was kind of a ridiculous thing to do, given the fact that there were at least an abundant number of bass singers who were not white, who were indeed black, and who could do the role, and I included myself in that description.
Yeah.
But I thought that, you know, I'd hear from them maybe saying, how dare you, or some such thing. And I sent it off, not expecting to hear what I did hear a few weeks later. A few weeks later, I got a letter from NBC saying, thank you for your letter, and please come to New York and audition for it, along with several other bases who are African-American, who we'd like to hear and for casting purposes. So I went from Virginia up to New York City, and I auditioned, and fortunately, they settled on me.
Yeah, it's just such an amazing story. Especially given the light that there are opera companies, even in the 21st century, that were still allowing people to perform roles in blackface, right? The Metropolitan Opera having Otello's singing in blackface up until recently.
In fact, there's one of my students who's now doing Otello in Europe. But it was really quite and he's been doing it now for several years. But that's really a very recent development, and still most of the major opera companies in the United States and in Europe have white singers to do it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, because as was the case back in the 60s, I mean, there are singers of color who can perform those roles.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
There are even more who are very capable of that now, available to do it, than who were in the 60s, who are now known to be able to do it. And they could make the excuse back in the 60s that they didn't know about them.
Yeah.
But now there's a plethora of them.
Well, we knew about you back in the 60s. I'm struck by the fact that this took place in the year of my birth in 1963. So as long as I've been alive.
That old?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I understand Louise is gathering some of the remaining members of the cast. Are you looking forward to that conversation?
Yes, by all means. I haven't seen any of them in 52 years.
That's amazing.
And I'm looking forward to that possibility.
Absolutely.
Exchange with them.
Well, I want to hear some more music for our listening party today. And you've got a couple of pieces grouped together here. French Works, Camille Saint-Saëns' Danse Macabre, that's second on this list here. People will recognize that because it's been done in many different versions. But you've also got Ange Fléchier here. Am I saying that correctly? The composer?
By Fléchier, yes.
Yeah. And that's a composer, I will admit my ignorance, not being familiar with this piece. Can you just talk a little bit about him?
Sure. I do not know much about the composer. In fact, that's the only piece I've ever seen by him. I'm sure he has a larger body of work. But this is... To paraphrase it a little bit, I love the sound of the horn, le cor, because it reminds me of the unfortunate incident that took place years ago when many of the king's best soldiers were caught in a valley and slain in a war. But their sound is echoed in the sound of the horn, and it is one that makes me very pleased.
Yeah.
So that's a bit of a macabre kind of a paraphrasing. It's a lovely song, but that's its basic text.
It fits very nicely with the macabre dance that follows it.
Yes,
Camille Saint-Saëns. Yeah.
Ta sobre valeur. Soir au fond des bois, j'aime le sang du corps, le soir au fond des bois. Le fautif souffle la nuit est sombre, des gémissements sortent des tiers. Le squelette est blanc, fout à travers l'ombre, courant et sautant sous les grêles. Chantons cette mousse, on entend claquer les os des danseurs. Un couple d'assises s'assoit sur la mousse, comme pour goûter des siennes de serre. Zig, 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 la mort continue de battre son frein, son agrestrement. À voir la tombée de ses ennemis, son de se laisser amoureusement. S'abandonne comme si le riche prêtait la parole. Zigue, 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 quelle sarabande, quel siècle de mort se donne à la main. Zigue, zigue, zague, on voit dans la bande le roi commandé au prêt divinat. Et pst, tout à coup, on quitte le ronde, on se pousse, on fuit, le coq a chanté.
Two songs sung by bass Willis Patterson, joined by Melita True. At the piano, we heard Le Cor, or The Horn, by Ange Flegier, and the Macabre Dance, or the Danse Macabre, music of Camille Saint-Saëns. We're having a listening party today in honor of Willis Patterson, who is Professor Emeritus at the University of Michigan, also was the Dean, Associate Dean of Music there for many, many years. He's having his 90th birthday in November, and right now, beginning this afternoon, in fact, almost as soon as we're off the radio, is the 2020 African American Music Conference at the University of Michigan. A whole slate of fantastic events, all centered around Dr. Patterson, and all of it organized by Dr. Louise Toppin, who is also on the phone with us today. Louise, you've been very quiet, but I imagine that we're all waiting to hear what Dr. Patterson has to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I've got a whole bunch of stuff here in our listening party, so we should probably forge ahead so we can hear everything that we've listed here. I've got two songs in German, one of them by Franz Schubert, one by Richard Strauss. We're going to hear Der Wanderer an den Mond, or The Wanderer's Address to the Moon. and Traum durch die Dämmerung, The Dream Through the Twilight by Strauss. Do you want to, do you have anything you want to say about those particular songs?
No, just that they're very, very beautiful. Both are, they're quite different. The one is a wanderer talking about comparing his fate or his way of living with the moon that roams all over the sky and is always at home, as opposed to he who walks from one space to another but is never at home. It's a very interesting comparison.
Yeah.
And then, of course, do you want me to talk now about the Traum durch die Dämmerung?
Yeah, you can say a word about that. I'll play them together.
Yeah. It's very contemplative, quiet song of one who is dreaming about eventually seeing his wife, who he describes as the most beautiful woman. And he is very, very passionately, but calmly proceeding to through his dream of his wife.
Ein weiches Sonnen.
Two beautiful songs, sung very beautifully by the bass Willis Patterson. Recorded live in recital with pianist Herman Thieler, we heard Der Wanderer an den Mond, The Wanderer's Address to the Moon by Franz Schubert, and then the love song Traum durch die Dämmerung, Dream Through the Twilight by Richard Strauss.